Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elves, and kicking things off for us tonight, brand new single from C. Sams, aka Christopher Sams. Song's called Bouquet, and he's releasing the album May 4th at the Handsome Daughter. That's a Real Love Winnipeg show. fingers crossed, we're going to get him on next month in the lead up to that show to talk about the album and maybe play us some live cuts if we're lucky. But for now, we got the lead off single. Speaking of lead off singles, Quiet. Ashley Binyers, formerly here at UMFM under the show Winnipeg Music Project, her Songsmith efforts are out and about in terms of local music creators. She just dropped a new single yesterday called Follow the Call. We're going to play that. And then coming up right after that, going to interview with Larry Roy and Leonard Shaw. They are the headliners or guest artists with the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra at their Tribute to Steely Dan concert coming up next weekend. And a little later on the show, Ioannis Lodewyks from Sub City talking about the reunion show happening next month. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
Do you hear it? Started like a hum. Heard it when you were young. Sounded like thunder on the horizon. What could you do? You knew what you wanted and it wanted you. It's time. The fever's here and rising. What you need, run wild and finally be free. Watch the world around you unravel. Take a leap of faith, you only move forward once the toll's been paid, and it's time to mark the path of travel.
The Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra season continues with Reelin' in the Ears, a tribute to Steely Dan, Saturday, March 23rd and Sunday, March 24th at CCFM. Larry Roy, Leonard Shaw, the featured performers, join me on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
So what's your individual relationships to Steely Dan? Like, have you always been fans? Were you fans when the records were coming out? Where are things at with you?
I started, I got a guitar as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old for Christmas, and that was 72. And my brother was older than I, and he had a fantastic record collection. So I started hearing, not only did I hear them on the radio, I mean, when I heard Reeling in the Years on the radio as a 12, 13-year-old, I loved the song, but I basically gravitated towards that music, and I learned every single note off every Steely Dan album, and that's pretty much how I learned to play guitar at the time. If you add the Jeff Beck albums to that, and a couple of Allman Brothers records, maybe some Doobie Brothers, that's how I learned to play guitar until I got into jazz a few years later, 14, 15, 16 years old, and got into George Benson and Joe Pass and people like that, Jim Hall. But for the first few years of my development, it was analyzing. And I mean, even I didn't know harmony, I hadn't studied harmony, but Steely Dan is such a gold mine of harmony and rhythm that if you spend enough time working on that music and analyzing it to the very details that are there, you're going to learn a ton about all aspects of music.
Absolutely. Wonderful music from the band that started, the first album came out in 1973, Countdown to Ecstasy, Can't Buy a Thrill, Pretzel Logic. I was inspired by the band. They are a rock band, but they've got influences from so many different styles of music, jazz and rock. Those guys, Walter Becker and Donald Fagen, grew up listening to all my favorite jazz artists as well. So they were inspired by Coltrane and Davis and Thelonious Monk, and the list goes on. And there's elements of that music and that sophistication in all their tunes.
So speaking of that sophistication, Larry, you've done the arrangements for this performance. Like, how much work did you have to do to reconsider this for a jazz orchestra, or was there a lot of like kind of meat on the bone already because of the like virtuosic nature of these guys?
Well, they're on some of the tunes, they're like they had horns on, I would say they had horns on maybe a quarter or four or five of the tunes that we're doing. They had horns on the original recordings, but these were not, 12 horns. These were three, four, five horns maybe. So I used that, for example, on Deacon Blues. It was such a beautiful horn arrangement that I tried to use what was there and just expand upon it, enhance it a little bit, make it work for five saxes, four trumpets, and three trombones. Same thing with My Old School, for example. They had a very cool horn arrangement there. So I stuck to what was the original on the original recording on those two tunes. But on most of them, I had to sort of invent things, and because we did a concert last summer, which was, I mean, basically we've been leading up to next weekend. We've been leading up to next weekend for a year, and for over a year now. So I started writing a bunch of arrangements for three horns, and basically sketches of what I would later develop. Further develop. I started writing sketches, and I did that last May, June, and July, and then realized that those functioned quite nicely, and that I didn't have to. You get feedback from the horn player. So we did something with Richard Gillis and Niall and James, a trombonist, one of my former students, and so you get some feedback from the horn players, and they said, "Yeah, this works. This works well. It works. It's fine." And so let's take it from there. And then the last 2.5 months have been virtually every 3 minutes I have available, I sit in front of the computer, and I've been working on these arrangements. And I'm basically done. I have one tune left to do. So it's long, long hours, and I hope I think it should be a lot of fun.
It will be, and you've done a ton of work, my friend.
Were there any that proved elusive? Like, was there a song that you wanted to do, but you're just like, I cannot figure out how to make this work for a jazz orchestra setting?
Let me look at the list here now for momentarily.
Well, some of the songs are largely just rock songs with a couple of guitar players, keyboards, vocals, bass and drums. So Larry has created arrangements around, beyond that format for more than half the songs, actually. But as he was saying, there's some wonderful arrangements that already existed on, especially on the later albums. You may know that Steely Dan used a plethora of the best studio musicians in the USA on their recordings, beyond just the core band, which started back in the 70s.
Now, Leonard, you're going to be playing keys and singing lead vocals. Have you had a lot of experience with, a band of this size behind you? Does it present any problems, or concentration issues when you're, front and center, but there's like a
Well,
pyramid behind you?
I'm really excited about having all that sound, and what I've heard of Larry's arrangements, it's going to be really great to be floating over that wonderful sound cushion. Also, with the rhythm section, I mean, Don Benediction and Danielle Waugh and I have been working together since the year 2000, and we were in a band called the Ministers of Cool playing Steely Dan. We made it kind of an objective to learn a bunch of Steely Dan tunes, which was a great exercise for anybody, any musician. And I've been singing some of these songs for a while, so I love singing these songs. I've always been inspired by them. But I'm excited as I probably could be about being in front of a band that size. We've worked with other horn players before, as Larry said, and other small horn sections, but never something, we're talking about 13 horns. This is going to be a whole other animal. And we're going to sort out the audio and make it happen in a big and large fashion.
So
Yeah,
these
and I'll
songs.
add to that. I mean,
I've since Greg passed, I've been fortunate enough that the guys from Ministers of Cool have invited me to perform and play with them, and that's an opportunity I just jumped on and brought my tried to bring my enthusiasm and work ethic to the project and so in terms of this material, I can't think of somebody I'd rather do that with than Leonard, because he can capture. He doesn't try and sound like Don Fagen when he's singing, but he understands the music and his bluesy sort of organic blues vibe lends itself so well to this music that at no point do I think. Or have I heard people who have listened to us, have I heard from people or thought myself that, well, it's not Donald Fagen enough or blah, blah, blah. I don't miss Donald Fagen. I don't think of Donald Fagen when I'm listening to Leonard, because he interprets this music so well. And so without that, I think this would be a tough project to pull off.
Well, speaking of Donald Fagen, you're not just doing Steely Dan, you also include one track from Fagen's solo record, The Nightfly. What was the decision making behind shoehorning that in?
Well, it's an album that Walter Becker, I mean Fagen, it's Fagen's album, that's his name on the record, but he got Becker, they produced it together, so Becker worked on that album with Donald Fagen the whole time, and so it's still to me a Becker Fagen production, and it's such a great tune that I had never played that tune before. And there are some great tenor, there's some great sax and trumpet lines in that move in that song. So I thought I love this tune. It's such a riot, and it's such a cool parody on a eventual idyllic existence that we have not come close to reaching. I thought it would be fun to include in the program.
Yeah, the lyrics are almost sci-fi fantasy from the 50s about our current state, and it's very different. It's almost comical.
Yeah, it is comical.
The
Yeah, to me.
future in the 50s, it's wonderful.
Speaking of great
And I just
tunes, before I let you go, can I get you guys to pick a Steely Dan track that we can play for listeners? Since we don't have the the jazz orchestra version to tempt them with, we just got to give them some Dan.
ahead, Lush.
Well, I think we that what did we decide? I think Deacon Blues, is that the tune we decided? Might be a
Deacon
great
Blues would be great.
it's a
Leonard
mellow.
sang that so well, and I expect the horns will be just a lush. We basically we talked earlier how Leonard looks forward to being surrounded by all these horns. Well, when I'm arranging, whether I'm doing that for Aaron Prop or for others, I just think of how can I envelop this voice with these rich harmonies and lush sonorities around him? And I think Deacon Blues will accomplish that.
Well, we'll give that one a listen. Reelin' in the Ears tribute to Steely Dan with the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. Saturday, March 23rd at 7:30. Sunday, March 24th, afternoon show, 2 p.m. CCFM. WinnipegJazzOrchestra.com for tickets and information. Larry Leonard, thanks for joining me and best of luck with the shows.
Thank you
Thank you.
very much, Michael.
Just what I feel. Drink scotch whiskey all night long. And die.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, Deacon Blues from Asia by Steely Dan. That was Leonard and Larry's pick. My thanks to them. Don't forget, they are performing next weekend at the CCFM with the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. If you want to see them, there is a chance to win tickets over at Friends of UMFM on Instagram. And we'll be giving away those tickets courtesy of the WJO. That's for the Sunday afternoon matinee show because the Saturday one is sold out. Coming up in just a few minutes, I talked to Johannes Lodwex from Sub City about their reunion show happening April 13th at the Park Theater. But before we get to that, brand new single from post-punk band Cola out of Montreal. It's called Bitter Melon. Really great stuff. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM. All right. Well, the last time we had him on over a year ago now was to talk Joe Strummer and the Guns of Wolseley project. But before, he was a cover artist. He was an original artist. Johannes Lodewijks joins me on the show. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So the reason we got you on is to talk about the Sub City reunion happening next month. And this is like the oft-promised, long-delayed show.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, we tried once. We had the band ready and rearing to go. And then lo and behold, about 2 weeks before the actual show date, you know, we'd been like 2 months into promoting it and 5 months into planning it. And then, yeah, 2 weeks before the actual show date, the pandemic hit Winnipeg. And, you know, well, we all remember that. Maybe we suppress it, but we all remember it was kind of, everybody was just kind of scrambling. Nobody knew what was going on or what was going to happen. And, you know, that at that point, it had already been 8 years since we had been a band. And so we thought that was good timing. And then, you know, oh, what's a few months? We'll delay it a couple months. Okay, we'll delay it 6 months. Okay, we'll delay it maybe next year. Okay, we'll do it after 10 years of being disbanded. And then here we are, 12 years after disbanding. We actually just passed the date of our final gig, quote unquote, 12 years ago. That was, would have been 12 years ago last weekend.
And 4 years after the intended reunion. I mean, that,
you know,
like,
works out great because we have something to build off of. You know, we were able to kind of jump back in pretty quickly just because we knew everybody was on board. We didn't have to have those talks, and we knew we already had the set list planned, all those kind of details. And thankfully, we had a lot of we stepped into UMFM and did some live videos off the floor with David Dobbs and had Sound Smart and Look Smart edit it and record it. And yeah, we had those kind of in pocket, so it was much more turnkey this time around, which is really nice.
So you were able to like essentially like save those several months of planning and just kind of transport them to now, like
kind of pick up where we left off. And you know, it worked out really well, and luckily the you know, the interest hasn't gone away. And if anything, it kind of like sparked a lot of interest because people got that tease 4 years ago and they're all gearing up for it. And then all of a sudden now we announced, and you know, the ticket sales far outnumber when we were going to do it 4 years ago, which is fantastic. And you know, we're seeing lots of people tag us online that they're flying in from different cities across Canada.
Nice. So that's a reunion show beyond the band.
I'm sorry,
a reunion show beyond the band. There are people being reunited with Winnipeg.
You got it. Yeah, it'll be a bit of a reunion of an older scene past. You know, that ska punk scene in Winnipeg was thriving back in the day when we were a part of it, and it doesn't exist nearly at all anymore. There's maybe a couple bands now that are playing ska. I know Dinner Club, and I can't really think of any other locals. Forgive me for that, but you know, it's just not something that that is too prevalent in Winnipeg's thriving music scene anymore.
Do you think is it a genre that's like fallen out of favor or something? Like, what do you, can
you know, I was always waiting for that fourth wave of ska to come. You know, we had the third wave in the 90s. Uh-huh. That was very tongue-in-cheek, very goofy, you know, Real Big Fish and that kind of stuff. And I was hoping that, you know, the fourth wave would come and we'd be able to, you know, really capitalize. And I don't mean financially, I mean just, you know, capitalize on the music we were playing. But it never came. I was hoping it would be something, you know, more closer to the second wave, you know, some cool two-tone out of England, kind of that kind of very politically charged kind of ska, but it never came back. I don't know. A lot of, you're seeing grunge come back from the 90s, and, you know, 80s music keeps on rotating in, and ska just never came back. I think maybe that third wave kind of shot itself in the foot and put a bad taste in people's mouths, and it was just a little too goofy, you know.
A little like Here in Your Bedroom and things like that, kind of.
Yeah, and you know, I like those songs, I like that stuff, but I can understand that it's it was just a little, especially like the fashion that kind of coincided with it. It was a little too goofy for people, and I guess they didn't want to go back there.
Sure enough. Although, as we're seeing, you know, certain trends are coming back like 20 years after the fact. So maybe it's just like about?
Well, we're working on 30 years since the third wave of ska, and who knows? Hopefully one day it comes back. It's certainly, not a type of music that ever went away. When you play ska, especially like an event that has a bit more broad appeal, you get younger people, you get older people. It's dancing music, it's party music, and it's also it can be a very rebellious kind of music because it combines, punk rock and rhythm and blues from the South and all that stuff. And so it's certainly the type of music that never goes away, and people have that kind of knee-jerk reaction to it, and people want to move. It's moving music, it's dancing music, so that's heavily what Sub City relies upon. Whether we're playing dancehall or reggae or punk or ska or soul, we are always making sure that it was danceable, because that's how you're going to kind of bring people together. That's how music brings people together. They want to move. And that's certainly what's going to happen on April 13th. We're going to have that dance floor going from the first song.
So you mentioned that, it was around the 8-year mark that you guys decided to get back together, planning that 2020 show. What was it at the time? Can you remember back to how you guys landed on coming back together at that point?
Well, it was always kind of like a low-hanging fruit, just because we were all still friends. Sub City wasn't a band that disbanded because of clash of ideals or the characters in the band. We were road-worn by the end there. We toured as much as our lives could handle, and life interferes, and so we disbanded, but we maintained those friendships for years afterwards. I think that's what really counts, in the long grand scheme of things. It's not, the notches on your belt from, the musical accolades that you can accumulate. It's the relationships you form, whether it's with bandmates or promoters or fans. And so it was very low hanging fruit. It was easy to say, hey guys, we still love these songs. We still love playing together. Let's give it another shot. And the interest was certainly there from the Winnipeg scene. So that's and beyond. So that's cool.
So speaking of returning to the songs, loving the songs, you mentioned the session you did with Dobbs here at the station. Kind of getting back into a studio space or doing something like that. Was it old hat? Or did you guys kind of have to reacclimate to each other?
Yeah, it was varying degrees for different members. It's hard as you're a parent and you're you've got your own career. You're not going to bust out the trombone every day. Mm. It's a bit more of a fringe instrument, if you will. You're not going to bust it out around the campfire. But then there's some guys who've been playing ever since and haven't let up. I'm a way better musician, or at least I'd like to think so, than I was, 12 years ago in Sub City, as well are a lot of the guys. Our drummer, L.A., who's a music teacher in school, is a very interesting case because he kind of tucked away the drumsticks for 12 years. I know he played trumpet and he played acoustic guitar, does all these different instruments for the kids, but never really touched the drums, but that musicianship was still, heavily ingrained in him, and he had no problem picking it back up. And, some of the guys, Sub City was, a bit more of a relentless band vocally, I guess. It was, there's a lot of kind of screamy parts or just givener kind of parts. And, maybe they went the way of playing more folky kind of music, and those type of vocal cords had to be stretched back out to kind of allow for that type of screaming or, howling. So it was varying degrees, but it's been fun on all fronts. I would say that everybody kept their chops up, which is really cool. And, and then some, because there was another thing about getting back together was we've all been kind of playing in these different projects, especially there's three or four of us have been playing in different projects throughout those 8 years together. And so, the chops have been kept up. People are in for a treat. I can definitely say we'll be a better band at this reunion gig than we were, even in our last shows. It's hard to compete with that type of tightness that you get from being on the road all the time. That might be something, but the musicianship is far better nowadays than it ever was.
like the base level of like competency has increased.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So building a set for a show like this, like how how do you guys determine like what gets included, what doesn't?
Yeah, no kidding. That's a really good question. Thanks for asking that. That's because Subcity's a band with, you know, in our heyday, we had five songwriters and we had, I don't know, six or seven different releases. And just like, you know, probably over the 10 years that Subcity was a band, I wouldn't be surprised if we had about, you know, 150 plus songs that we did. Cause we did a lot of nights where we were doing three set nights back in the day. That was a good way to make money back then, was just play the whole night. And, so we had a huge catalog to choose from. Luckily we did for our final gig 12 years ago, we'd recorded it live and you can hear that live album on Spotify or wherever you stream music along with all the rest of Subcity's catalog. And we kind of had that to draw on. So we're like, okay, these are the songs that really worked for the live album. Let's use that as our base. And we didn't do all of them, but we kind of use that as our basis. And then how do we fill out the ends? And then there's also songs that, you know, we personally want to play again because they meant something to us. And then there's, you know, a few covers that kind of stuck with us over the 10 years. I mean, as you mentioned, The Clash, that was always a big band for us. Mm-hmm. We really associated with their ideals and their style of playing. And so building that set was relatively easy. I think there was maybe about 30 songs on the block, and then we whittled it down to, I think we're doing 22 or 23. So it's still a pretty hefty set because we've got to cover, you know, all the different songwriters, the different eras, different styles, while still making it kind of cohesive, right?
Right.
But it's interesting for rehearsals because, you know, usually you get together with the band, you're rehearsing for a gig, and you have 12 songs. Well, you can run those 12 songs, take a break, run those 12 songs again, you could pound them into the ground. But with doing like a 23 song set, by the time you make it through all the songs, that's kind of the end of the night. So you gotta hit it the first time, and it makes rehearsals very interesting, you know.
Is it a bit of a tightrope walk trying to like be on top of things so that you're maximizing your time since you're all busy?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And maximizing the time leads into just, you know, we're six different guys with different personal lives now. We've got three dads in the band and we've all got, you know, careers, and you know, music's still a heavy part of our lives, but, you know, what time can you start? Can the six guys with different lives start, and what time do they have to end? And then you're kind of working inside of that. So it certainly is a tightrope. Mm-hmm. And all that means is guys got to be on point. They've got to know their parts. And so, they got to come to play.
So you got a hefty set list for the night. You've also got a hefty opener, Paige Drubut, opening. Was she on the bill back in 2020?
No, she wasn't. We had a band called Trampoline, who I'm sure
okay,
you know.
Yeah.
They're a fantastic local band. And then for this one, we asked Paige Drubut, who we're all big fans of, you know, a cool little three-piece, almost Hendrix style. I don't know what she wants to be described as, but I always hear Hendrix and beyond. You know, she's just a killer guitar player. Has that really cool voice, and so we're stoked to have her open up the show.
So this goes down Saturday, April 13th. Advance tickets. You can follow UMFM's event listing on our site, or I imagine grab it off your socials.
Absolutely. Subcity's on Facebook and Instagram, and tickets are through ticketweb.ca, but you can find it on the Park Theater's website or on any of our social media. It's pretty easy to find nowadays, and yeah, make sure you grab some tickets. It's going to be a fantastic night.
You mentioned, you know, picking the 23 tracks there. Before I let you go, I want to get you to pick one Subcity track that we can play
really
for listeners. I know. This is always the, like, hardest question I seem to ask artists is,
yeah,
you know, pick a track from your discography. And if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote about it, we'd love to hear that.
Hey, well, let's pick Gastown off of our 7-inch. Gastown and Jerk Chicken Boogaloo. That was a 7-inch we put out. We were really excited to put out vinyl for the first time because a lot of the guys in the band were vinyl junkies. When we go out on the road, you know, we'd have a special place in the tour bus for all the vinyl we'd pick up throughout a tour. And so Gastown was a song we wrote about kind of a gentrification of the different cities. You know, as we go to these cities time and time again over 10 years, you see them kind of turn a page in some way, gentrification. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it's really kind of just whitewashes kind of a neighborhood that we used to really find a lot of character in. And so Gastown, we wrote about, Gastown, of course, is in Vancouver, it kind of goes out to the whole Western Canada that we kind of saw that happen. And same thing in our hometown, Winnipeg.
All right, we'll give that one a listen. We'll remind folks to circle the calendar for Saturday, April 13th. Johannes, thanks for taking some time, and congrats on the reunion, and best of luck with the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having us on, Mike. Really appreciate you and Jared and all your work.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a soul rising. said the fruits of a label out the pocket, say they suits red future. And nothing here is new to us. We've been on the rise from a birth to a funeral. Future ancestors, my people so beautiful. This movement, the real front line to the studio. Look at your reflection, tell me what you see. Your future's in the mirror, nothing coming in between us. Now I'm praying on my knees for my nephews and my nieces. Man, we always had the vision, you're the ones who wouldn't see. We're the ground movers, earth shakers, no savior. While they're praying on us, we've been building something great. And if we never meet again, let me do you one favor. Let me pray for you, you a gift from Creator Red. Protection and the blessing over us. I can finna tell me, boys, don't cry when a warrior does. This for the young and see that feel like they ain't been enough. Had a rough situation, tough, but the spirit shining through. Creator knew the world needed one of you. Cause the future looking bright and real sacred as the youth. Red future.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. You just heard a brand new single from Snotty Nose Rez Kids, thanks to their management company who sent me Red Future earlier this week. Excited to hear more from that Polaris-nominated group. Before that, of course, Sub City with Gas Town. That was off of their 7-inch, and that was Johannes' pick. Don't forget, April 13th at the Park Theater with Paige Drobot. Tickets available, and if you visit the show notes for this show, you can link straight through to the event listing for it. Last week, as this show was airing, the Folk Fest lineup was announced, and one of the ones I am most excited to see on the agenda, on the program, is Soweto band BCUC. Last year, they released a really great record called Millions of Us. They have another album coming out later this spring. I'm going to play you Ntwane from Millions of Us to kind of get you excited for checking them out. Reminder to circle their appearances at Bird's Hill. And then another band with another album coming out this spring that I was kind of hoping, fingers crossed, that these guys would end up on the Folk Fest bill. Sadly, they did not. Maybe next year. Hermanos Gutierrez, we've played a lot of their stuff in the past. Sonido Cosmico coming out soon. Low Sun is the new single. We've got something new from Baby Rose, a collab with Bad Bad Not Good from a forthcoming EP. Victor Davies, who from his time working with Compost Records out of Germany, is a longtime favorite of mine. He's got a new single. And then Muramasa, back with a new single as well before we hand things over to After 8 Radio. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll be right back.
Oh, so hard, but I can't forget you. And I know that things have changed. Didn't think I'd see you again. Be alright if you never see me again. But for old times, give me one last dance. Now you're here looking good as ever. Know that things have changed. Didn't think I'd see you again. I know you'll be alright if you never see me again. Oh,
just like colors from a rainbow's end. A thousand colors racing round my heart and back again. Only she could make the waves upon my ocean steal. A gentle whisper, almost without sound, a whisper you can feel. If I go, if I go, if I go away, then I know I will surely pay, because I need your love each and every day. You are my morning sun. Thank you. your love each and every day. You are my morning sun. You'll always be the one. You are my morning and evening. Everything that's pleasing, you're my morning sun. You are my morning sun. You'll always be the one. You are my morning and evening. Everything that's pleasing, you're my morning sun. You are my morning sun. Thank you.
shower, someone got too strong, oh, whoa, someone